following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Luke 3:16. I have just a few scriptures I want to share this morning. The title of this morning is Purifying Fire Brings Empowering Fire. Y'all familiar with this verse? I'm sure John answered when the religious people asked him, are you the Messiah? And he said, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes. This is Luke 3:16. One mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. And he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now look at this next verse. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather the wheat into his garner, and will burn the chaff with fire unquenchable. You know, chaff is the discardable part of wheat. And it's a totally unproductive. And when you harvest wheat, you have to separate the wheat from the chaff. And we don't know much about that in our city culture, but in the agrarian cultures, it was very commonly understood. Basically, chaff is of no use in wheat's final product. You have to destroy, you have to eliminate, you have to separate, and they would winnow it. They would throw it up and blow it. I actually saw this happening when I was in India. I don't know if the first time I went, I don't know when y'all were there, but we would look, maybe we'd look out the windows and we passed these little towns. It's like looking in the first century, and you literally saw people winnowing wheat and blowing chaff and all this kind of thing. But it's a type. The type is this. There's a type here. Because obviously Jesus is not talking directly about how to make bread. Would you believe that? You know, he's using it as an idiom, an allegory. What he's saying is that in you, when the baptism of fire comes in your life, one of the purposes of the baptism of fire, okay, is to separate the unproductive from the productive. That there's stuff in you that God wants to pull away from you and separate off of you because it's not productive to what his end, to your end. And it takes fire. The wind, the chaff, he says the fan is in his hand. He wants to do whatever it takes. And it's interesting, he uses that passage in the context of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and move in the gifts. But they don't understand, any times in the Scripture, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. And what's interesting about fire, then they say, yeah, I want a baptism of fire. You know, fire to give. Well, but if you look at the Scripture, the fire related to the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not so much fire that you can give and move mountains and heal the sick. What is the fire about? The context. It's about burning you. Can you hear me? It's about burning what in you? The unproductive things. I mean, that's if you stay with the Scripture, it's the purpose of the fire is to burn you. How many of y'all could use a little fire? Come on, be honest. In fact, if you turn to Malachi 3, y'all know where Malachi is, the last book in the Old Testament. Just turn left. Malachi 3, it's the last page of the Old Testament. This shouldn't be hard. Malachi 3, verse 2, talking about the Messiah again. Who may abide the day of his coming? And who will stand when the Messiah appears? For he is like a what? Refiner's fire, like a fuller's soap, and he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He'll purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. You know, it's interesting. If you look carefully, it says he will sit as a refiner. It means he's in no hurry. The Messiah sits. The Lord literally sits in our life. He wants to find a place of rest in our life. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our life is to purge us of the junk. That is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to separate us and purge us. In fact, the word sanctification means to be separate, to come out from among. To be separate and to purge us. And can I amen? The first work of the Holy Spirit is to come into your house, come into your life, and throw out the junk that's hindering productivity. Jesus gives all these analogies and types and allegories of a farmer and seed and have to weed the garden. You see Christ going into the temple. What's the first thing he did in the temple? He cast out what? the junk, the thieves and robbers. He says, cast out the inhabitants, a type of, we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to come in and cast out stuff. So the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to purify us, to separate us from the junk, the unproductive things that hinder God's purposes in your life. And it takes a cooperative effort. But what's interesting, and I'm sure you've all heard this interesting way, and I don't know that they do it now, but I know historically, this is the way when the refiner, when someone is trying to purify gold, there's something about heat actually causes impurities in gold to rise. Heat causes impurities to rise. And so what the gold master, the refiner, the silversmith, whatever it is, they literally scoop off, as it were, the impurities from the top, and it's almost like they continue to do it until they can see their shimmering reflection in the gold. Without any impurities, then they know the gold has reached the level of purity they want. And isn't that exactly what Christ is doing? He's allowing the heat to come in our life so the impurities arise, and then he wants to be done with them, cast them out, deliverance, confessing, whatever it takes, to where the reflection of Jesus, that we are manifesting and reflecting the life of Jesus. How many of y'all perfectly reflect the life of Jesus? Okay, you're an honest bunch. How many of y'all have done it at least once in your life? Come on. Hey, y'all are really a deceived bunch. If you're saved, surely work with me here, please. You're waiting for the next question, right? Did you know that some impurities are kind of stubborn? And he's got to turn the heat up a little higher? Eh? A little bit higher? Finally, he takes a blowtorch. Now, I got good news for you this morning. Listen, here's the teaching. You ready? Purifying fire, you ready, brings empowering fire. Now, I want empowering fire. It's fun to go up to people and go, fire! And they fall out in the spirit and they get healed. That's kind of cool. Wakes them up, too. Let me see if anybody around here is asleep. He looks asleep. I like the teens all sitting on the front row. This keeps them in line, man. Whose idea was this? Well, how do you get the fire, the empowering fire? You got to submit to the purifying fire. One goes with the other. You know, I've been sharing several weeks about there's great revivals breaking out around the country, and just breaking out. And we actually, four of us, sat and watched a meeting last night live. It was so astounding. There were so many miracles. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. Last night, there were so many miracles, so many deaf ears opening, particularly, that the evangelist finally said, nobody else that's healed come on the stage. I just want people that weren't healed. So people kind of would come up with these significant, and literally they were being healed as he touched them instantly. It was phenomenal anointing of power and fire. Power and fire? Fire and power. Is that right? And I'm just excited that kind of fire and power is flowing in the land. It's encouraging my faith. But the point is, the brother who moves in that and the brothers who are moving around the country, you know what? You're going to have to pay a price for that. Can I and a man? What is the price to be able to move in the gifts of the Spirit? We gave an example of this brother. What was the price he paid to get to be able to read? Was that at the drugstore? You able to read that lady's mail? Right? What did he do? He walked through his sphere. He was willing to love and reach out and help this lady. And you know, as this brother is bold in the Spirit and willing to reach out, God confirms it with signs following. Moves in the word of knowledge. Or Beth, been willing, saying, I'm available. So God's sending people to her house. Lead the lady to the young lady to the Lord. Pray for her and she gets healed. Praise God. You know, that's what God wants all of us to be. But the key is you've got to submit to the purifying fire. Don't resist the Lord. There are hindrances. There are things. And listen, God's going to get it out of your life. You can either cry out to him and say, oh, Lord, come. Search me, oh, God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And in Psalm 139. And lead me. Or if you don't do that, he's going to turn up the fire. He sits as a refiner. He is determined He that performed a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ. He will perfect you in Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not. Did you know that? If you're stubborn and hard-headed and willful and rebellious and self-willed and I'm going to do it my way, or I'm going to give a form of godliness but deny the power, or mouth it all but not walk it out, God loves you. He loves you. He says, but he's grieved because you're choosing plan B instead of plan A. And he just knows it's going to take a bit longer, and he's going to have to turn the fire up. And if you like fire and those types of things, that's your prerogative. How many of y'all like to go through chastening fire? Come on, be honest. How many of y'all really like that? Nobody likes chastening fire. Because you know what it invariably is, chastening fire? You know what it usually is? It usually has to do with your car or your money or your job or your house or your plumbing or your air condition or your kids or your spouse. Are your kids' health? Can anyone? That's usually where the fire is. And some of us go, well, I can handle that, no problem, I got it under control. So that's one of them stubborn things. He has to turn it up a little bit. I'm turning up the fire there. Then he's finally got a roaring fire. And the angels are hauling logs, throwing logs on the fire. And you're still saying, I can do it by myself. I can overcome. God says, okay. Then the big angel brings a blowtorch. Okay, let's conclude this. Daniel chapter 3. Turn left and go a couple of chapters. Daniel 3. Now here's the good news, guys. God loves us. God loves you. God wants to purify you. God wants to empower you. Guys, listen, God wants to empower you. Let me ask you a question. Who here has ever laid hands on the sick and they've recovered? Okay, now I'm going to ask a little more embarrassing question. It may not be embarrassing, but who hasn't but would like to? Who has not laid hands on the sick but would like to? Raise your hand. Okay, fair enough. Who here has led someone to Christ in your life? Let's do it again. Who hasn't but would like to? Have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. Guys, let me tell you something. To lead someone to Christ is better than any miracle. Open the blind eyes, raise the dead. To lead someone to Christ, gosh, the other stuff's just dealing with the body that's going to burn. That's eternal. But you know what? If you want to be used of the Lord in your life, guys, here's the key. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a minute. Fire jet prayer. All the disciples just rejoiced. You said, boy, you hadn't preached about the fire jet prayer in a long time. Guys, the fire jet prayer, I coined that myself. Fire jets. It is the key to fire empowerment. All right? Well, here's the good news. Look what's so cool. Daniel 3:21. These guys, they refused to bow down to some idol demon. They refused. Nebuchadnezzar wanted these three young men to bow down to the demon. They wouldn't. So what did he do? Verse 21 of chapter 3 of Daniel. And these men were bound in their coats and hosen and hats and their other garments, and they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now look at the type. I want you to see the type. They were, listen carefully. They were severely bound, and they were cast into the fire. Listen, let's work with the type here. Many people, because they're severely bound, God has to allow the fire to come in your life. Now, here's the good news. What happens when they're thrown into the fire? In fact, keep your finger here. I want to show you a verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Just keep your finger there. Isaiah 43, 2. Here's the good news, the promise. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Now look at this. When you walk through what? Thou shalt what? Not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Now go back to Daniel 3. Now isn't that amazing? When you walk through the fire, the Lord said, you will not be burned. Now that's a crazy fire. That's some kind of abnormal, supernatural fire. Almost like the fire of the burning bush. A fire that did not burn. Well, here it is. They threw these young men totally bad into the fiery furnace. And if I'm not mistaken, the guards that threw them in died because it was so hot. Yeah, the guards died just getting near the fire. Sounds like a August day in Houston, huh? And verse 25. So they're in the fire now. And guess what? They're still alive. In fact, the king looks down. Somehow, who knows if you're able to look down from a height into this furnace. In fact, he said in verse 24, the king did, he was astonished and rose in haste and said to the counselors, didn't we cast three men bound into the fire? They said, yes. He said, verse 25, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Is that how your versions read? That's phenomenal. The king is looking down. They threw three guys in there, and now there's four. And they're walking around in the fire. You don't walk around in fire. You sizzle, pop, and burn. Amen? They're walking around. Probably high-fiving. Dude! Maybe they're saying, here, toast me a little here. I need a tan mark right here. I don't know what they were doing. And all of a sudden, guess what? God, you know what? Did you know in the Old Testament there's something called, theologically called a Christophany. Y'all know what a Christophany is? A Christophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And you can find it several places. Who was it that wrestled with Jacob? He's asked the angel its name, his name, and he says, why is it you ask my name, seeing it is? You know what the margin is? Wonderful. What was the name of the Messiah, Isaiah? His name should be called what? There are these appearances of Jesus Christ. I believe it was Jesus Christ when Joshua came, right before he went, took Jericho. It says the Lord appeared, and Joshua pulled, he said, who are you with? Us or the Lord? And the one who spoke said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Who is he talking to? Jesus Christ. And here we have an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus is right there in the fire walking around with these guys. They got to experience an Old Testament manifestation. These three guys, they saw Jesus in the fire. How many of y'all would like to see Jesus? Experience Jesus. Find a companionship and an intimacy and a reality of Jesus. Where does it happen? In the fire. So you say, you're tricking us here. I can feel this, man. Verse 27. So they get them out. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, they came out, saw these men, look at this, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire. They didn't even smell like fire. I mean, the king had some special sniffers. And they passed the sniff test. I mean, there was no evidence of what happened. Now, what is the message here this morning, guys? Is fire something to be afraid of? I tell you, what, if you want to get it out, you got to get it. I personally long, when I say fire, fire comes. When I say heal, healing comes. But I'm going to have to allow the fire to come in my life. Accordingly, correspondingly, commensurately, to the degree I open this way, vertically, to that degree will it flow out horizontally. That's the way it works. But the Lord comforts us. He says it's not anything to be afraid of. Because the last place we're going to look is Leviticus 9, and we'll close. Leviticus 9:21. You know where Leviticus is? It's the third book in the Bible. Turn left. Leviticus 9:21. This is a cool verse. You say, how could anything cool be in Leviticus? Well, Leviticus is an interesting book. Don't despise it, although it's hard to read. Leviticus 9:21. The breast and the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed the people. This is during the offering rites before the tabernacle. And he came down from the offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And look at this. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came out what? A fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. You know the message there is? Listen. God empowers acceptable sacrifices. Moses and Aaron, the high priest, had acceptable sacrifices before the Lord on the altar according to the prescription defined. And because it was acceptable before the Lord, the hair of the Lord came out of the ark and consumed the sacrifice, and the glory appeared. I really believe it's a beautiful type. The Old Testament is written for New Testament understanding. That is, we are an acceptable. The Bible says, present your bodies a living what? Come on, work with me. Romans 12:1. Present, I therefore beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living, acceptable, which is in the sight of the Lord. A living sacrifice. As you lay your body down, lay down your rights, become a sacrifice to the Lord, to the devouring fire. Our God is a consuming fire. It's interesting. The angels were told in Psalm 104, verse 4, the angels of the Lord are flames of fire. How many of you are like empowering angels to be around you? Well, they're full of fire. If you freak at fire, those angels aren't going to hang around you. Amen? Fiery angels in the presence of the Lord, as we're acceptable, we allow the empowering fire, the purifying fire in our life, the empowering fire will flow out. Let me tell you one thing about fire. It terrifies demons. Satan hates fire. It releases anointing and results in dramatic signs and wonders. So that's the teaching this morning, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Jesus, have I persuaded you of the need to pray for fire, to be separated from the chaff? Look, guys, God's going to do it whether you ask for it or not. Hello? Because He loves you. But you can expedite it if you ask for it. And then trust me, He's going to come to you with opportunities to obey, deny yourself, lay down your rights in your life, get on the cross, die, and come into resurrection power. He's going to provide you opportunities. You will either yes, Lord, and obey, or no, Lord, not now. Then He'll say, fine, we'll go to plan B. It's really your choice. But I can tell you something. As Solomon said, as far as light exceeds darkness, so does wisdom exceed folly. It is not wise to say no to Jesus. It is not wise to say not now to Jesus. If you want to live a life without misery. But if you want to live a life of joy, it's pray this prayer. You ready? Lord, I pray as we pray this prayer, you would hear the heart's cry. And those who are sincere and is saying it from their heart, you would honor the prayer of our mouth, Lord Jesus. And you would come and sanctify it. Say this after me. Jesus, thank you for the baptism of fire. I pray that you would turn the fan in your hand and the fire in your hand into my life. Burn out the impurities, everything unacceptable, and that hinders me from bearing fruit and moving in fire and power in Jesus Christ. Turn on the fire jets. Let the fire burn in my spirit, soul, and body. Do whatever you would. And Lord, ignore me when I cry out and beg you to turn the fire off. Ignore me, Jesus. Keep it burning so I can come forth purified in your sight. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Did you pray that? Do you want Jesus to obey you on that? to respond to you, to ignore you when you cry out? Come on, work with me here. Well, he will if you mean it. Lord, don't listen to that side of me. Lord, don't listen to me when I start whining, complaining, and moaning and ask you to come pull me out of it. Don't listen to me, Jesus. That's just the lesser side of me. That's the side I don't want. Amen? The best thing is God can deliver you from yourself. Well, Lord, I speak a blessing now. Just seal that prayer. And I pray, Lord, as we humble ourselves and get on the cross, that the fire of the Holy Ghost will increase in this place. Lord, that the point will come when anyone in this place lays hands on the sick. And Lord, the anointing fire will flow corporately, Lord Jesus, and heal and set free. Let's all stand.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.